In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Be live, the traveling Gulf Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We are here at Jets Camp in Florham Park, and we got our first guest of the morning, and that is tight end Tyler Conklin. Tyler, good morning. Thanks for being here. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So it's a little bit of a different feel this year to last year, I would imagine, because of what happened last year. But as you go into a camp and all the fanfare and the craziness that was going on, and now you've got this situation where you're coming off a disappointing year because of the Aaron Rodgers injury and trying to reset, what has it been like?
Yeah, I mean, last year was crazy, right? We had Hall of Fame games. We're in camp early. We had Hard Knocks. Obviously, Aaron just got here. So there's just 1,000 different things going on. The media was, I mean, the media is always crazy in New York, but I mean, it made it even crazier. it's nice this year not having all those things, right? You don't have Hard Knocks. You don't have video of cameras here all the time. People are, I think, settling in to having Aaron here. And to just be able to have another offseason, another camp with him, it's been really big, I think. You know, being in the system for another year, getting to understand Aaron for another year, and but I mean, the fanfare and the media is always kind of
well,
crazy.
Yeah, here. I was telling Aaron last year, I said, this ain't Green Bay, man. you could just kind of get lost in Green Bay. Here, it's not going to happen. So, you know, you've played with Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. You now get a chance to play with a Hall of Fame quarterback in waiting. I mean, you've had it pretty good, except for last year when he got hurt. Just the impact that a guy like Aaron Rodgers has on the entire organization.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, like I played with Kirk for 4 years. I got to start with him 1 year, and he's a great quarterback, right? Probably one of, if not the best play-action quarterback in football. Throws a great ball, accurate, smart. So I was curious to get here and be with Aaron and see how that went. And, it's just hard to explain, like, the amount of control and the way Aaron sees the game, right? Like, we joke around about it. He's kind of just out there playing Madden sometimes. Like, he's just, you know, it's him against the, obviously it's OC versus the DC, but it's also Aaron versus the DC. And, I think kind of not having that middleman and him being able to make adjustments and to play against the defensive coordinator. And, it just makes a huge difference.
You know, you just basically threw the offensive coordinator, like, out. Nathaniel Hackett's the OC. He's a listed OC. Yeah. And he and Aaron are very close. They get along great. But it's interesting that you say that Aaron basically does things on the field. It sounds like that what he sees, he's allowed to make adjustments on the field as the game is going on.
Yeah, I just think he makes a lot more adjustments than, like, when I was with Kirk.
Yeah.
You know, he was 10 years in, and being as smart as he was, he just didn't make nearly as many adjustments that Aaron makes on a play-to-play basis.
So he was more of a system guy. He stayed within the system. If they called a play, you know, he didn't really change many things. I mean, it's got to be interesting playing with Aaron. That means things could happen at a moment's notice with him.
Yeah, it makes it interesting. I mean, sometimes it could be the littlest of checks or changes, or it could be, you know, maybe just drawn up a play on his hand and because he sees something happening. So, I mean, it could go.
That's amazing. That is amazing. I thought myself being a smart guy on the field, I would never, I don't think I would ever be able to do that on the field. You know what I mean? Because like, I wanted structure. I needed something. I needed to know where you were going.
Yeah.
You know, when I play with a tight end and he would go left when I expected him to go right, I'd be ramming, I'd be yelling at him.
Hey, if I do that too, I'll be getting yelled at too. Yeah, if we're not on the same page, you'll hear about it.
So this whole thing with Hassan Reddick, is it affecting the locker room at all? Are you guys talking about it much?
I haven't heard anybody talk about it, honestly. I think everybody understands the business side of things, and I think as a team we do a good job just controlling the controllables, and I'm sure at some point it'll get figured out between the two parties, and when he gets here, we'll bond just like you always do in the locker room and bond his
and
teammates.
Not worry about it, huh?
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
All right, so
moment.
You saw Justin Jefferson up close and personal. Compare him to Garrett Wilson. What do you see from Garrett on a daily basis? Can he be as good as Justin?
Yeah, I think he can for sure. When I first got here, it was a comparison I'd make just because the way they run routes, kind of just like Euro step and like kind of just like the way their movement is and their stems and whatnot. I do think that Garrett can be, the best receiver in the NFL, and I think he has all the tangibles and all the ability to do that. So I do think he can be what Justin is.
Boomer and Geo with Tyler Conklin live from Jets camp. How does the defense look going against him every day?
Yeah, it's I like to say I think it's going to make our life as an offense a little easier. I mean, they're just such a good group at every level. Defensive line, obviously, especially for the offensive line and us, I mean, they can be a handful at times.
Who's the biggest pain in the ass out there to go against?
That's tough because it just really depends. I mean, Jermaine Johnson's really... he took a huge step last year, I think everybody noticed, but I just think he keeps getting better and better. Just like the mixture of finesse and power that he has on the edge can be tough to deal with. So I say Jermaine really has the opportunity to, take another big step.
You know, when you think about this offense and the explosive players, especially at the running back position, at the wide receiver position, nobody ever really talks about the tight end. You know what I mean? Like they talk about left tackles.
We always get forgot about.
Yeah, I know that. And I'm saying you had a very productive year last year. And I would have think that if you're playing with Aaron Rodgers, and we've seen him with other tight ends in Green Bay actually have great years. And guys that we would have never heard of had it not been for Aaron Rodgers obviously doing what he does on the field. So I would imagine you got to think that this is going to be your best year as a professional in terms of numbers and productivity because of the offensive players that you have around you.
Yeah, 100%. I think I've had an interesting career, right? I didn't really get a chance to start or play until my fourth season, and I used to tell people, that felt like it was like my rookie year. Like I finally got to play, and I feel like you got to learn. I mean, you get better in this league by playing in this league, and I think every year since that year, I've took a step and got better as a football player. And, having somebody like Aaron back there is only going to help me get to where I want to go.
Did you have a tight end idol growing up? Or did you just sort of fall into this position because it ended up being the perfect thing for you?
I always liked Antonio Gates. From Michigan, yeah. Kent State, in the MAC, basketball guy. Like, it kind of just aligned with me being from Michigan, playing at Central Michigan, being a basketball guy. So, Antonio Gates was one of them that I always kind of watched.
Now, it's always interesting to me, you grow up in Michigan, you're there, you get drafted by the Minnesota Vikings, that's the Midwest, and then you come here, and you've got New York City, even though you're up here in New Jersey and it's quiet, but you do have the city, and you've got Aaron Rodgers. Was it a shock to your system coming here, some of like the traffic and the nonsense and the bull crap as opposed to what you dealt with for most of your life?
Yeah, it was different. I didn't really know what to expect, and everybody kind of tries to give you the rundown of what to expect, and it's been an adjustment for me and my wife, but we've definitely learned to love it. I mean, being this close to the city and getting down there to experience, it's awesome.
You live up here, though?
Yeah, we live up here, though.
Okay.
Yeah. The bagel sandwiches and stuff like that are awesome. I'm not sold on the pizza yet.
Really?
How could you not be sold on the pizza? What are you, Caesar's guy or something?
I get a lot of hate for
Domino's
this.
Domino's or what?
No, I like Jets pizza. Detroit-style pizza.
Okay.
Everybody just tells me I haven't had the right pizza yet, so maybe I just got to keep searching.
Listen, there's plenty of it, I can tell you that. As we're talking to Tyler Conklin here, tight end for the New York Jets, for the next couple minutes, it's interesting. playing here, living here, there are a lot of distractions. Maybe in Minnesota, maybe not so many distractions when you were there. I was just wondering, comparing that city and that fan base to this fan base in this city and what goes on here and the difficulties of dealing with that.
Yeah, I think both places had amazing fan bases. The city life is definitely different. I would say in the city and the media, like when I left Minnesota, I'm like, how much more media could you really have? And I found out quick that you can have a lot more media.
Yes.
And so I do think the media and just the fact that they're, you know, always searching for a story, always searching for anything, can make things a can be a distraction, just keeps you on your toes a little bit more compared to Minnesota. And I mean, obviously being this close to New York, there's a lot more room to be able to go, you know, distract yourself. But I mean, I'm pretty blessed, you know. My wife keeps me pretty grounded, and I stay out of the city pretty often.
You seem like you're pretty grounded. You seem like one of those old school guys anyway.
Yeah.
Fit in perfectly.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you sound like this is like you got all that stuff out of your system as like a young guy.
And by the way, 100%. And by the way, Gio here is a huge Vikings fan, so yeah. When the Jets did sign you, he was like, you know, kind of sad that you were leaving Minnesota. But
I was happy that he was coming here.
But he was getting his money.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I mean, he earned it. Fifth round draft pick, he got paid.
It's been a journey.
Right, exactly. And that's what you want to see. All right, Tyler, it's great talking to you. Best of luck this season. We'll be paying close attention like everybody else. And yes. Enjoy the rest of camp if that's possible.
I appreciate you guys.
All right, thanks
for having me.
Okay, bye.
Tyler Conklin, Jets tight end. Appreciate it, Tyler. It's Boomer and Gio coming to you live from the Traveling Built Ford Tough studio at Jets Camp here in Florham Park.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Gio.
Live from Florham Park at Jets Camp, and the man to our right, C.J. Mosley, we talk to, I think, every year that he has been here outside of the COVID year. We have talked to C.J., so we love seeing him. It's like an August tradition to see C.J. Mosley, so the great veteran linebacker for the New York Jets. I mean, training camp again, that's what you got to be thinking, right? Like, every time you show up, you're like, I'm a vet, man. Do I have to go through this again? Like, you're in the dog days now, right?
Yeah, the dog days have definitely started. The older you get, sometimes it started to creep in. But, you know, when I get in the building, I obviously see my teammates, get through the routine. And for the most part, you know, we get outside, start competing, you know, all those things go away. You know, you focus on your goal. You just kind of sit back and realize, you know, what you have going, you know, going to, you know, the 11th camp, so can't be nothing but grateful for
11th camp, it's amazing. And, you know, you've had a very interesting career here with the Jets. Started with a knee injury, then it was the COVID situation, then last year was a whole other set of circumstances with the quarterbacks and everything else. And I'm just wondering, I mean, coming into it this year, everybody thinks that the Jets have a top 5 defense, and I know that there's pride associated with that. I know you guys look at the statistics. You want to see where you're ranked. Give me your assessment of your overall defense going into this year.
I definitely believe in coming in with a with a revamped defense. You know, we haven't lost a lot of pieces. We added some good ones. So, you know, it's about us withholding our standard and really just growing out every week and, you know, controlling what we can control. And that's our style to play and how we execute.
Have you spoken with Hassan Reddick at all?
No, sir, I haven't.
Really? No conversation, nothing? Yeah. How about when he got traded to the Jets?
Yeah, still no conversation.
Really?
Well, I was looking forward to, you know, seeing them and getting to know them in person. But, you know, unfortunately, it hasn't happened. So, if it does, we'll be ready to greet them with open arms.
So you're a leader on this defense, whether you want to be or not. Like, everybody's going to look to you as the guy. Do you embrace that role? Is that something that you like, knowing that everybody's looking up to you and looking to you to be the guy?
I definitely grew into that role. I've always been a lead by example, do my job type of guy. The defense that I've been on, dating back to college, I didn't have to be in that position to, be in the middle, being that the top guy to talk, the leader and all that. But, once your team, pushes you and believes that you can be that person, you just have to accept it. And usually the guys that don't, they can kind of, get by and just still play that style. But, the position I play and, just the role that I have on this team, I've been able to uphold the standard of being the captain for this team.
Talk to me about the growth of Quinnen Williams and how good he's become at his position.
He's been great. Every single day, he's trying to get better. He's trying to be a dominant football player. He's trying to be the best defensive tackle in the league. And, I would say the main thing that's changed is his mindset every single year. He's gotten better. He's seen the film. He's gotten the snaps, so he's a true vet now. So, for him, he's really just trying to be one of the most dominant defensive interior players in the league.
How's the offense look? You go up against them every day. Obviously, it's a challenge with Aaron Rodgers. How do you feel like they're progressing so far?
I feel like they're progressing well. And you know that because, we go against them every single day. And, the things that they're showing is going to help our defense out when we get in the season. So every single time we step out of practice against them, it really feels like we're playing a game. We're really competing against each other. So that makes us fun as well. So you don't really think about, it's camp, we got another practice. Like, no, we got to get better or the offense is going to expose us.
It's funny. You got some really good young players in this team, and you have some very unique personalities on this team. Yep. Sauce Gardner going against Garrett Wilson. And I would imagine every day that is something that I would just sit here and watch it just for the sheer fun of it and then listen to what they say after practice. How is that little tandem doing and how competitive is it?
It's very competitive. Obviously, we get a little closer to the preseason game, so you kind of get tired of going against the same people every time. But, when two people want to just be the best and you have some of the best players at their position going against each other every day, you can't be nothing but be grateful for it.
What makes Sauce Gardner so great as a defensive back?
I would say his IQ level for his young age. He showed it his rookie year, and every single year he's been getting better. Obviously, he's starting to get older, so he's been putting on a little weight. And if you talk to him, you're definitely going to say he's got better in the run game.
If you talk to him. Have you been following his golf journey on social media? That was crazy in the offseason. Well, he was out there more than me and Boomer.
I didn't really have a choice. Like, it popped up. Anything that he did, anything that he does pops up. So, I have seen it. It was very impressive. I don't know about playing in the rain. I was playing a few weeks before, and it was some lightning warning. So we got out of there. So I was like, yeah, you can have that.
That's obsessed he is. When you catch the bug and you're out there in the lightning and thunder with no shirt on, you've lost your mind.
I would think, like I was telling you, that the expectations for the Jets this year, because you guys haven't been into the playoffs since I think 2010, I believe that is, which is the longest running drought in the four professional sports for any team. The team right behind you is the Buffalo Sabres, that they last made their playoffs in 2011. Do you guys talk about that at all? Do you talk about the fact that the Jet fan has been so frustrated over the years?
We talk about it a little bit. It's not like our drive and goal to for us to get to the playoffs, but obviously, we want to be a team that can compete and that can obviously compete for a Super Bowl. So I feel like we've been taking the right steps. Some days we've taken two steps forward. Sometimes it's been two steps backwards. But at the end of the day, I feel like we've been progressing every single day, every single year.
You know, it's interesting. You opened with the San Francisco 49ers, and we all did this. I think we did it when I played. You get the schedule, you look at that first game, and you're going up against one of the best teams in their building.
Yep.
And I would imagine that's got to be priority number one and something that's been talked about since you guys got here at camp.
Yes, for sure. We understand, you know, the task at hand. We're going against, you know, a Super Bowl competing team. They've been together for a while. Great athletes and players all over the field. So we know what type of team we have to be and what we need to do to execute to try to win. So it's going to be a great first test for us.
CJ, it's great seeing you again. And I tell you, this defense is going to be really fun to watch this year, and we hope that you come in at number one when the season's over. So good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Great to see you again, CJ. Good luck to you, man.
Thank you.
CJ Mosley, Jets captain. And the leader of this defense. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Got Aaron Rodgers coming up next.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
It's Boomer and Geo live from Jets Camp on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. And we've got Aaron Rodgers walking up to this set. What's going on, Aaron? Good to see you again, man.
You're much better mood this year than he was last year.
He's smiling. Last year, if you probably don't remember, we do, because it's ingrained in my memory forever. You walked in. You were in like 2 hours of traffic. There were three jackknife tractor trailers. You walked in and
two.
Okay.
Just two.
And you sat down and you weren't having it. So today we got a big smile. Oh, you were not having it.
No, you were not having it at all.
So this handshake that we had here.
I'm telling you, life, you just have to, if you set it up the right way. So now I don't even get on the freeway anymore in the morning. I have a nice little drive. I can listen to whatever the hell I want. And now I get in and have a good mood.
There you go. Good to see you.
I never have to sit one damn minute in traffic.
This is the best.
You're always moving, you know? Nice little side streets. You got a stop sign every now and then.
Yeah.
You know,
well, nice. Listen, you this, you learned.
Their dogs out there.
You've
you
learned.
Know, it's not just on the highway. fingers. Chaos. Yeah.
Yep. It shaves years off your life, man. Telling you. I'm slowly learning to not lose my mind in those situations.
How do you do it?
I shut everything off.
Just wake up, you know, wash your face, put your makeup on the same way every day and get after it.
No. You have to. Every day is different, man. Oh.
He's got a 62-mile drive every single day into New York City.
62 miles?
Yeah, into New York City, yeah.
From Long Island. So he's in the middle of Long Island, you know, where the Jets used to play when they were in New York. Now I know they're in Jersey.
Is it true that people everywhere get as sensitive as I saw the other day when I said that Long Island was basically just like Jersey?
Oh, God, you can't do that. Yeah, that's a bad one.
Totally different.
Right.
Totally different.
There's always something you know, regionally that gets people going.
Oh, yeah, you,
in
you
Wisconsin,
it.
It was happy cows come from California. Ooh.
No.
I'm telling you, that is like a hot poker for them.
By the way, I just got back from Wisconsin, Sand Valley.
Oh,
it was great.
Did you play the par three?
I did, yes.
Yeah, I love the par three.
Yes,
and how many got going? Mammoth?
They got five courses now.
Five courses.
Sand Valley, Sand Valley. The Lido is awesome.
Yeah.
And the Lido is after a Long Island golf course that was recreated and brought back to life and was awesome. So
in Big Rome, Wisconsin.
Yes.
Rome, Wisconsin.
How about that?
Do you miss Wisconsin?
Some parts of it, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. What parts do you miss?
Well, I miss being able to go to Sand Valley, you know?
Right.
And in Whitsun Straits. You know,
great
golf.
Beautiful stuff.
I know there's great golf here, but I think it just seems closer out there because Sheboygan from Green Bay is like 45 minutes.
If you want to go out to the Hamptons from here, forget it's going to take you 3 weeks.
I thought you were more of a Nantucket guy.
No, I'm a Long Island guy.
You're a Long Island
fruit, bro.
Right.
That's Hamptons, the way it is, man.
He's doing it again.
I know.
Now you're stirring the pot with different areas. Nantucket guys. You look like a Nantucket guy.
Well, I look like a Nantucket guy.
Come on.
Of course not.
He's a Martha's Vineyard guy.
Please. Let me ask you this question. How's the Achilles?
See, we're getting going.
Yes.
Let's go.
How's the Achilles? How's the leg? Everything good?
Yeah, I feel good. It's been a long, you know, 10 months or whatever, rehab, maybe more. But, I felt great at probably 4 months and then about the same for the next 3 months. And then it was the last 3 months been feeling kind of last 5-10%.
Why was it important for you to come back and practice last year?
mentally, I think. It was just such a heartbreaking, frustrating, you know, start after so much excitement and euphoria and expectations. You know, I busted my ass those first 3 months and felt really, really good. And then once, you know, we were out of it, I, you know, was designated to return. And, you know, I had fun at practice, but that was, you know, still not you know, a down part of the entire year after all the excitement and expectations. But then we kind of backed off for like a month or so and just kind of let me mentally and physically kind of rest and then kind of dove back on the rehab.
So, I mean, not to get too philosophical, but reach
you woke up, you know, you put on your your island shirt.
Yeah,
your
vibes, I did. That's right. You know? Yes, look at that.
Yeah, but you're in a good mood.
I was in a good mood. I just came back from Italy. This is the first show I've done after like 9 days in Italy.
Nice.
So I knew like nothing that was going on. Like you could have hurt yourself again. I wouldn't have known because I just showed up here. I was like, just tell me what happened.
You didn't follow the Olympics, the excitement with all that.
No. I just had to detach good for a little bit. But in order, I've always believed in order to get to the best version of yourself, you got to go through some horrible stuff. And what happened last year to you, I think could be end up being a good thing. And things that you didn't know that you were capable of, you end up being capable of because you went through that. Is that fair to say, or is that just some stupid like fortune cookie thing?
Not about fortune cookies. I mean, there's some other people that have said similar stuff. No, but I believe that for sure. That I have a hard time with the whole everything happens for a reason thought process, because I think like that glosses over a lot of really crappy times, and I think it's okay to wish things had gotten better or easier, learn a lesson without going through that. But I think there can be some little beautiful miracles in the midst of the chaos and frustration and heartbreak. And I think there were some really special things that happened in my life during the last 10 months, but I think I had to go to some dark places in order to fully experience the, you know, the highs. There's the highs, the lows, and the in-betweens, and kind of experienced a lot of that. I'm going to try and stay more in the in-betweens here for the next run.
You know, for me, I had a lot of lows here when I was the quarterback of the Jets. So, you know, the trip to Egypt wasn't there. The ayahuasca wasn't there back then. I wish it was.
It was.
Maybe
you
it was.
You had to go find it.
I don't know what it was, but I felt like I was like living in the third dimension, if you will, especially after three coaches in 3 years. But you do understand the history of the Jets. I know you do.
Yeah.
And you know that they haven't been to the playoffs since 2020. It's a frustrated fan base. Yeah, 2010, excuse me. But it's a frustrated fan base.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that you want to be great. I know you want to be the guy that you were in Green Bay. But I think, you know, there's a point where you can put too much pressure on yourself. And I'm just wondering, do you think about that pressure? And do you think about trying to deliver everything that you are to the fans?
Yeah, I'd love to. I think that's a fuel, you know. I mean, you're a great competitor. Like, us great competitors, we'd like to put on the line. And we realize that success and failure is not binary wins and losses. You know, it's a mindset. It's going out there and willing to put your best on the line, knowing it's not going to be good enough in a win-loss matrix every single time. You know, it's just so rare that you go 17-0. But the most important thing is being willing to put it out there and not let the fear of failure cripple you. The fear of failure is a motivator, because you embrace that and you set your sights on success as being your best. And being your best is multifaceted. It's a preparation. It's a mindset. It's a willingness to lay it on the line. I think we all want to do that. As far as the pressure of coming through for the fans, that's the way it is. You know, I've been fortunate enough to play for two organizations that set a standard of excellence, not, hey, let's just have a pretty good season. You know, let's be the best. And I think that's what you want to play. And you don't want to play in a city where they're just so excited to, you know, win a few games every year. You know, it's like,
they're not excited around here for that. They want more.
Let's go, you know, get it done and get the hell out, you know. So that's the type of team we want to play for.
So this Ian O'Connor book, was this an authorized or not authorized biography by you?
A rhetorical question.
Okay.
Is it not?
I guess. I don't know.
It's hard to tell.
I can't. I honestly swear to you, I was looking up this. I couldn't figure it out because there were quotes in there. So it looked like you gave your blessing. But then on the other hand, it looked like there was stuff in there that you didn't want to be in there. So I was confused. So I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to ask him as opposed to look up the answer on the internet.
He did a lot of research. It has nothing to do with me.
Right.
But he did a lot of research on his own. He's done other books with other you know, famous people in sports. I think he reached out to 500 people and talked to maybe half those people. At the end, before, although he'd already written, I believe, a first draft, we had a conversation and sat down. it was more just kind of him asking a few things. A lot of the stuff that was in there, I mean, is 20 plus years old. And I commend him for the time he spent on it, but it's not a book that I asked him to write for me. He wrote it on his own, and there'll be some interesting things in there that are perspective-based. There'll for sure be some stuff that's true. I mean, he wrote the first chapter, I believe, about my grandfather, which is pretty cool. I mean, he sent me a copy of the, there was a war crimes tribunal that got together because my grandfather was shot down in the First World War and spent 9 months in a POW camp, and there were some rough conditions there, and he got to testify in front of the War Crimes Commission. That's not the cool part. The cool part is that he had to give a bunch of information out about his past, and so I got to learn stuff about my grandfather, like where he was living at, what his jobs were. I didn't know he went to the University of Texas at Austin. You know, a bunch of really cool things. So I appreciate that kind of research that he did. And there's other stories in there that are true, that I'm sure are true. There's stories that are maybe...
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
It's Boomer and Geo live from Jets Camp on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. And we've got Aaron Rodgers walking up to this set. What's going on, Aaron? Good to see you again, man.
You're much better mood this year than he was last year.
He's smiling. Last year, if you probably don't remember, we do, because it's ingrained in my memory forever. You walked in. You were in like 2 hours of traffic. There were three jackknife tractor trailers. You walked in and
two.
Okay.
Just two.
And you sat down and you weren't having it. So today we got a big smile. Oh, you were not having
it. No, you were not having it at all.
So this handshake that we had here.
I'm telling you, life, you just have to, if you set it up the right way. So now I don't even get on the freeway anymore in the morning. I have a nice little drive. I can listen to whatever the hell I want. And now I get in and have a good mood.
There you go.
I never have to sit one damn minute in traffic.
This is the best.
You're always moving, you know? Nice little side streets. You got a stop sign every now and then.
Yeah. Well, listen to this. You learned.
Their dogs out there.
You've learned.
Not just on the highway. fingers. Chaos. Yeah.
Yep. It shaves years off your life, man. I'm telling you. I'm slow. Slowly learning to not lose my mind in those situations.
How do you do?
I shut everything off.
Just wake up, you know, wash your face, put your makeup on the same way every day, and get after it.
No. You have to. Every day is different, man. Oh.
He's got a 62-mile drive every single day into New York City.
62 miles?
Yeah, into New York City, yeah.
From Long Island. So he's in the middle of Long Island, you know, where the Jets used to play when they were in New York. Now I know they're in Jersey.
Is it true that people everywhere get as sensitive as I saw the other day when I said that Long Island was basically just like Jersey?
Oh, God, you can't do that. Yeah, that's a bad one.
Totally different.
Right.
Totally different.
There's always something you know, regionally that gets people going.
Oh, yeah.
In Wisconsin, it was... happy cows come from California. Ooh,
oh, no.
I'm telling you, that is like a hot poker for them.
By the way, I just got back from Wisconsin, Sand Valley.
Oh,
it was
beautiful.
Great.
Did you play the par three?
I did, yes.
Yeah, I love the par three. Mammoth?
They got five courses now.
Five courses?
Sand Valley, Sand Valley. The Lido is awesome.
Yeah.
And the Lido is after a Long Island golf course that was recreated and brought back to life and was awesome. So
in Big Rome, Wisconsin.
Yes.
Rome, Wisconsin.
How about that?
Do you miss Wisconsin?
Some parts of it, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. What parts do you miss?
I miss being able to go to Sand Valley, you know?
Right.
And in Whitsun Straits.
Some great golf.
Beautiful stuff.
I know there's great golf here, but I think it just seems closer out there because Sheboygan from Green Bay is like 45 minutes.
If you want to go out to the Hamptons from here, forget it's going to take you 3 weeks.
I thought you were more of a Nantucket guy.
No, I'm a Long Island guy.
You're a Long Island
through, bro.
Right.
That's the way it is, man.
He's doing it again.
I know.
Now you're stirring the pot with different areas. Nantucket guys. Look like a Nantucket guy.
Well, I look like a Nantucket
Come
guy.
Come on. Of course not.
He's a Martha's Vineyard guy.
Please. Listen, let me ask you this question. How's the Achilles? How's the Achilles? How's the leg? Everything good?
Yeah, I feel good. Good. It's been a long, you know, 10 months or whatever, rehab, might even be more. But, I felt great at probably 4 months and then about the same for the next 3 months. And then it was the last 3 months been feeling kind of that last 5-10%.
Why was it important for you to come back and practice last year?
Mentally, I think. It was just such a heartbreaking, frustrating, start after so much excitement and euphoria and expectations. I busted my ass those first 3 months and felt really, really good. And then once, we were out of it, I was designated to return. I'd fun at practice, but that was, still not a down part of the entire year after all the excitement and expectations. But then we kind of backed off for like a month or so and just kind of let me mentally and physically kind of rest and then kind of dove back into the rehab.
So, I mean, not to get too philosophical, but to reach
you your... woke up, you put on your island shirt.
Yeah,
your
I vibes, did. That's right. Know? Yes. Look at that.
Yeah.
But
you're in a good mood.
I was in a good mood. I just came back from Italy. This is the first show I've done after like 9 days in Italy.
Nice.
So I knew like nothing that was going on. Like you could have hurt yourself again. I wouldn't have known because I just showed up here. I was like, just tell me what happened.
You didn't follow the Olympics, excitement with all that.
No. I just had to detach for a little bit. But in order, I've always believed in order to get to the best version of yourself, you got to go through some horrible stuff. And what happened last year to you, I think could be end up being a good thing. And things that you didn't know that you were capable of, you end up being capable of because you went through that. Is that fair to say, or is that just some stupid like fortune cookie thing?
Not about fortune cookies. I mean, there's some other people that have said similar stuff. No, but I believe that for sure. That I have a hard time with the whole everything happens for a reason thought process because I think like that glosses over a lot of really crappy times and I think it's okay to wish things had gotten better or easier, learn a lesson without going through that. But I think there can be some little beautiful miracles in the midst of the chaos and frustration and heartbreak. And I think there were some really special things that happened in my life during the last 10 months, but I think I had to go to some dark places in order to fully experience the highs. There's the highs, the lows, and the in-betweens, and kind of experienced a lot of that. I'm going to try and stay more in the in-betweens here for the next run.
You know, for me, I had a lot of lows here when I was the quarterback at the Jets. the trip to Egypt wasn't there. The ayahuasca wasn't there back then. I wish it was.
It was.
Maybe
you
it was.
You had to go find it.
I don't know what it was, but I felt like I was like living in the third dimension, if you will, especially after three coaches in 3 years. But you do understand the history of the Jets. I know you do.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you know that they haven't been to the playoffs since 2020. It's a frustrated fan base. Yeah, 2010, excuse me. But it's a frustrated fan base.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that you want to be great. I know you want to be the guy that you were in Green Bay. But I think, there's a point where you can put too much pressure on yourself. And I'm just wondering, do you think about that pressure? And do you think about trying to deliver everything that you are to the fans?
Yeah, I'd love to. I think that's a fuel, I think... I mean, boom, you're a great competitor. Like, us great competitors, we'd like to put on the line. And we realize that success and failure is not binary wins and losses. It's a mindset. It's going out there and willing to put your best on the line, knowing it's not going to be good enough in a win-loss matrix every single time. It's just so rare. You go 17-0. But the most important thing is being willing to put it out there and not let the fear of failure cripple you. The fear of failure is a motivator because you embrace that and you set your sights on success as being your best. And being your best is multifaceted. It's a preparation. It's a mindset. It's a willingness to lay it on the line. I think we all want to do that. As far as the pressure of coming through for the fans, that's the way it is. I've been fortunate enough to play for two organizations that set a standard of excellence, not, hey, let's just have a pretty good season. Let's be the best. And I think that's what you want to play. And you don't want to play in a city where they're just so excited to, win a few games every year, It's like, no.
They're not excited around here for that. They want more.
Let's go, get it done and get the hell out, So that's the type of team we want to play for.
So this Ian O'Connor book, was this an authorized or not authorized biography by you?
A rhetorical question.
Okay.
Is it not?
I guess. I don't know.
It's hard to tell.
I swear to you, I was looking up this. I couldn't figure it out because there were quotes in there. So it looked like you gave your blessing. But then on the other hand, it looked like there was stuff in there that you didn't want to be in there. So I was confused. So I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to ask him as opposed to look up the answer on the internet.
He did a lot of research. It has nothing to do with me.
Right.
But he did a lot of research on his own. He's done other books with other you know, famous people in sports. I think he reached out to 500 people and talked to maybe half those people. At the end, before, although he'd already written, I believe, a first draft, we had a conversation and sat down. It was more just kind of him asking a few things. A lot of the stuff that was in there, I mean, is 20-plus years old. And yeah, I commend him for the time he spent on it, but it's not a book that I you know, asked him to write for me. He wrote it on his own, and there'll be some interesting things in there that are perspective-based. There'll for sure be some stuff that's true. I mean, he wrote the first chapter, I believe, about my grandfather, which is pretty cool. I mean, he came, he sent me a copy of the, there was a war crimes tribunal that got together because my grandfather was shot down in the First World War and spent 9 months in a POW camp, and there were some rough conditions there, and he got to testify in front of the War Crimes Commission. That's not the cool part. The cool part is that he had to give a bunch of information out about his past, and so I got to learn stuff about my grandfather, like where he was living at, what his jobs were. I didn't know he went to University of Texas at Austin. You know, a bunch of really cool things. So I appreciate that kind of research that he did. And there's other stories in there that are true, that I'm sure are true. There's stories that are maybe, you know, exaggerated over time. There's stories that are prospectively true to people because that's what it seemed to them. But it'll be interesting. I'm not sure if I'm going to read it or not. I'm definitely going to read a chapter about my grandfather. But I'm sure there'll be stuff.
Yeah, there's a nice excerpt in the New York Post today if you'd like to read it.
I bet there is.
About Olivia and everything else. And you, look, yeah, you're 20 years. You've been around for 20 years. You're one of the greatest quarterbacks of his era and will go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And you're a very interesting guy. And you're not afraid to say things.
I'm not.
And this is why things like this tend to follow you around. I mean, like, you know, it's just a part of your life. It's a part of who you are. I've always said that, like, of all the guys that I've ever interviewed in the NFL that have played our position, I don't necessarily know that there's anybody that thinks the way that you do. Maybe Tom Brady to a certain extent, but the things that you think about are different than what everybody else is thinking about.
Well, I think that that is partially true. I think the other part is I'm willing to say non-cliche things every single time we sit down for something like this. I'm not worried about the repercussions from it. But yeah, there's some interesting stories I'm sure that come out of it.
There will be, yes.
And ones that are not based in a lot of fact, to be honest.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how do you think you are covered? 0 being not fairly, 10 being fair, where do you think? In national media, whatever media, just overall, how do you think you're covered, fairly or not?
I will respond to that with a scale of how much I care, and it's don't give a is 0 and care deeply about it is 10, and I would say it's about a 1.
But I will respond with this. There are some times, though, you go on with McAfee and you want to fight against people saying things that are untrue or
when
whatever.
When things get so far down the narrative that it gets so ridiculous, and there'll be things probably in this book that are on that level. But listen, I had a conversation with Ian, and he was, you know, I commend him. He was trying to do a really good job and getting the, you know, entire picture, but you have to put everything into context. I don't know what kind of book he's going to write. I do know that when I met him, one of the first things he said was, "I'm double vaxxed and double boosted."
Was he wearing a mask?
And then he went on a story about, you know, Kyrie Irving. You know, so listen, you know, I'm sure it'll be interesting read. I'm sure he talked to a lot of people that I know and love. So
he spoke to me.
Yeah,
he did. Yeah, and you know, it was interesting because of, you know, just my history here, just watching you try to go through all of this and then unfortunately get hurt in the way you did, and just the amount of press and the amount of attention that you've brought to this organization, which is exactly what they wanted.
Of course,
that's exactly why you're here.
Yeah, to win and to get
to win.
Yeah, well, to win, yes. But, I mean, the Jets wanted credibility. They wanted, you know, and they know. Look, you've even said this. I've said this. The fact that Rob Saleh is still here with a losing record and the fact that you got hurt, I think, saved his job. And, you know, everybody's job is on the line. It always is in the NFL, but here especially with a losing record for a head coach, which I think is the reality of the business.
Yeah, well, that's a very reactive business, you know?
Yes.
Like, how many coaches are losing their job in the first year at places that are rebuild places? Like, some of the owners, I don't understand. I don't think they realize when they're in a rebuild and when they can actually win now. That's what's amazing about Chicago is I feel like everybody's going, oh, it's a win-now team. You know, but you have a rookie quarterback. Like, it takes some time. I hope it doesn't because I like Caleb, but it takes time for places, and it takes time to change culture.
Well, it's amazing. You were one of those quarterbacks that actually sat, and you sat for three years. So it was 3 years, right?
Yeah.
And what would you, like, if you were giving advice to ownership about drafting these kids so young and then throwing them out on the field, what would your advice be?
Well, I think it's a combination. You have to. It has to be the right fit, you know, system-wise, and then you have to realize it's going to take some time for most quarterbacks. I think there's been very few over the years. Ben Roethlisberger comes to mind. Dan Marino, maybe it was skill set, maybe it was fit. I mean,
C.J. Stroud last year, maybe.
C.J. Stroud, yeah. But, I mean, that one kind of came out of nowhere. I feel like Pittsburgh knew they were really close when they drafted Ben in 04. Miami, I don't know if they knew they were close. Maybe it was just that Dan, you know, could play right away. But I don't know that Houston knew they were going to be really good last year. Now, CJ took care of the football well and was opportunistic. That's a good start. But it's still most of the teams that are picking the quarterbacks they expect to turn the entire thing around are picking at the top of the draft. You know, most of the time that doesn't mean that they are ready to be a playoff team right away. So that's why it's so rare. But I would say to be comfortable sitting or be comfortable being patient because it usually takes some time.
Did you come back from Egypt with a better understanding or a theory that you believed more in with the building of the pyramids before going there?
I don't think I came back with an altered mindset, no. That was an important trip for me mentally. That was something that I thought about within a few months after tearing my Achilles and kind of prognosticated out when I wanted to be there and looked at dates. So that was something that was on my mind to be able to kind of like finalize all the, you know, the transmutation of the sadness and frustration and disappointment and heartbreak going somewhere I've wanted to go since I was a child. So
did it live up to the expectations?
Yeah, it was one of the few places in life where it kind of exceeded the expectations, to be honest. The only other place that kind of has been that time was when I went to Augusta. Honestly.
Augusta in Egypt, yes.
Yeah. Right. It's kind of like, no, there's very few places in life. You know, that's why if you put your expectations too high, you're going to set yourself up for some sort of disappointment. But I had a better time than I even thought I could have.
Yeah. Expectation is the thief of joy. That is one of my lines. See,
comparison,
See, how about that? We have a man here who is very much like you in investigating different things and trying to find answers. And he's been dying to ask you this particular question because he's never heard your opinion on it. So this is Al Dukes, our executive producer.
Hi.
So this here's your opportunity, Al.
So there's this guy on Twitter named Ashton Forbes who's been investigating the Malaysian Air that disappeared.
Yeah.
And he's got a very extensive argument with what he claims are military videos and this sort of thing, that the U.S. government took the plane to Diego Garcia military base. And it's very interesting. He supposedly was booked on Rogan, and then Rogan canceled him for some reason. Have you ever looked into that thing at all? And what do you think?
I have. I've seen,
interesting.
I've seen some things, I think, and I've seen some of their videos with the three objects in the plane. Yeah, I don't know. That's a hard one for me.
Yeah, what's weird is that it's really that guy, and I don't see a lot of other people talking about it. And I would think that'd be something like Rogan or somebody else would want to look into. Because it's pretty compelling what the guy lays out.
Yeah, it's interesting, for sure. Compelling, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely interesting.
Yeah.
I haven't spent a ton of time on it. I always thought it was interesting how the planes are able to disappear like that, because I believe there's still only two or three companies that make all the engines for the planes. They're able to track them. But I don't know. I mean, wasn't there wreckage in the Indian Ocean?
Yeah, well, they claim.
Just a little bit of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've actually been going back and watching one of my favorite shows during this training camp, Lost. So,
of course.
You know, a lot of similarities, right, with that one where,
yes,
you know, Whitmore hit a bunch of, you know, fake planes, buildings at the bottom of the ocean, Although with Lost, there's so many weird storylines going on. You don't even know what the hell's going on half the time.
I would be thinking you'd be watching the San Francisco defense.
Here we go. Big old boomer here. Old school NFL guy.
Yes.
Here he comes. Bursts through the door.
I was telling Tyler Conklin, I said, and even to C.J. Mosley, I'm like, you know, the schedule comes out, you look at it, and there's that first game against San Francisco. That's your hometown team, you know, and I know this is probably going to be a great opening night for you that night, but I always wondered about those teams and always wondered, it was always in the forefront of my mind, especially when training camp opened. And I'm thinking that I would imagine that it's a huge game for you. It's a huge game for you to get back on the field. And do you want to play in preseason? Do you want to get out there? Do you want to feel the rush again before that?
I don't know. Not really. I mean, I don't think I need to. As long as I'm making the right reactions in practice, you know, I obviously didn't get to play a whole lot last year. That's kind of a joke. But I was able to be back in practice, I think, so I didn't miss the entire year. And obviously was here for 10 of the 12 OTAs and training camp, so that's important. Obviously, there's a little bit maybe change in speed and mindset because now you can get hit when you're out there, but preseason is not real football. I've said that before. It's different. Obviously, you're still tackling, so that part's real. And there's the threat of being rushed, which is real, but the coverages. Now, last year with Wink, the few plays we played, and he told us pregame he was going to play cover three and chill out, and then he brought zero on the first play, and zero on the second play, and zero down the red zone. So that was like you're really playing. You know, mm-hmm. The first play we had like weak Ken Mike, so it's a lead play, weak open side or close side, and he comes out, and of course he's lined up in zero, and so I check it over to Mike and throw a backside run solution to G and look over at Wink and gave him the finger like, what are you doing, bro? that was the start to the whole thing. But so I respect that. But most people aren't like Wink. You know, there's going to be like one eye zone. Nobody wants to show anything in the preseason.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's like, are we going to be able to run the offense we were running in training camp? We're going to run the dumbed down version that it showed in the games. Like, to me, what's the point of that? Yeah, I think that's why it's hard for young player evaluation in this in today's days. I feel like there was less restriction of play calling in preseason. Obviously, you weren't showing everything you're working on, but you're still. What's the gist of it? What are we trying to do? Let's get that out there because, I think the most important evaluation for these young guys, and I think I'm still in the minority a little bit, is what they do on the practice field, because you're going against a defense that's actually working on things, that's doing different things, that's bringing pressures. Mm-hmm. They're not just sitting back and doing nothing. Like, we're running our offense. It's like for a quarterback evaluation. We're running an offense that involves an understanding of fronts and movement and where the point's going for runs and passes. Then we get into a game situation. We're not doing any of the stuff that we're doing in practice, and they don't have to play quarterback.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I still have to go out there and make the throws and stuff, and I thought both guys, Peasley and Martinez, did a nice job in the game. But the better evaluation for me, and I've told them this, is what they're doing in practice, because now you're seeing defenses that are really actually trying things.
Now, I know that Boomer made a comparison between you and Brady before, just like seeing the game, but I think you guys couldn't be more different just from viewing from the outside. For example, I could be dead wrong about this.
Might be.
And I probably will be. But, and we want you to be here for as long as possible. If you can play for five more years, awesome. But when you do retire, you're not going to take a deal to go in a booth. You're going to be gone. We're not going to hear from you at all. You're not going to be, as much as you love football, you're going to be away from it. You're going to be doing different things and using that portion of your life to explore just other avenues as opposed to like ending up with somewhere in a booth next to Al Michaels or something.
I love Al Michaels, and that'd be a dream, honestly. But no.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's what I. Have you thought about where you're going to live?
No, not extensively, or not anywhere I'd tell you.
You're not coming over for dinner. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, because that's going to be fascinating for me. Like, where? Because you're going to have an opportunity to live wherever you want, and where you choose is going to be really interesting.
Well, let's see where the world's going on.
That's true. Don't get him started.
Yeah, don't get him started.
Right.
But I think Malibu is a pretty good place to start.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
He's going to get out of the U.S. for a while, I think.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Where do you see him? Do you have a particular place in mind, like Mykonos or something?
Egypt? Mykonos.
Mykonos would be good.
What about like Iceland?
Yeah. sounds fun.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
I could see you there.
Yeah.
I don't know, somewhere. But you'll be bopping around. You'll get bored of one particular place, I think. But you're like, you're going to go see.
Projection.
Have you seen the Northern Lights?
Yeah.
Oh, you have? Okay. Because I figured you'd do that first. You'd go up
that
and
was
you
on
see
the bucket
that.
List. I did that. Then I was in Alaska.
Oh, wow. So, all right. So yeah. What's left on the bucket list?
I'm not telling you.
Come on. It's got to be something good.
For my next OTA trip.
When he leaves for minicamp next year.
You're going to miss week six to go.
All right, so that brings up one thing. You brought it up, so I got to ask you. The messaging. I mean, like, I knew that you were leaving to go, and I knew that you were going to miss minicamp. If I knew that, then the team had to know that. And then the messaging comes out that you had an unexcused absence for minicamp. Were you annoyed by that?
I was enjoying my time in Egypt, so
right.
I wasn't annoyed about anything.
At that point.
No, I mean, listen, we all have our jobs and responsibilities. You know, there's not an issue between Robert and I. I think people thought, oh, there's some sort of friction. It's like, no, you know. And, you know, in those situations, you know, there's probably ideas about what the back channels were and were people trying to, you know, sway, you know, everybody make everybody feel okay. And it's like, no, there was nothing needed. Hey, I'm good. I'm in Egypt. I'm having a good time.
Okay.
You know, enjoying my vacation and my mental clarity. And, you know, it's going to be a story regardless, and people are going to run with whatever headline that they want. Sometimes it's going to be dead on accurate, and you know, in some situations, like, how the hell did they know that? And sometimes you're learning stuff about yourself.
That's true. That's
and everything true. In between.
And one final question for me. Did you ever get to play that round of golf with Davante Adams?
We've played a lot of golf over the years.
Okay, I was just saying you were looking forward to playing with him again. I was just wondering if you guys ever played that.
No, I was you know what I was hoping he'd play a little bit better in Tahoe because I would have loved to get in the same group with him again.
Yeah, well, I'd love to see you in the same group too,
Aaron. Thank you. This was so much better than last year. I couldn't forget about that interview last year, like for a full year, and I'm like cleansed now.
Okay,
like I needed this. So thank you and
listen,
best of luck this season.
It wasn't you. It's not you.
Right. Well, it's part me. Of it was.
No,
it was
you.
All of us. It was a collective effort. We
it
were off our game.
You're right.
You were pissed
you.
Off.
It was
horrible. Anyway.
It wasn't Boom, though.
No, definitely not
Thank
him.
God. Thank God it wasn't me, man.
It's never him.
If it is me, just let me know, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Guys.
It's great to see you, brother. Good luck this year, man.
Have a great year, man. Thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.